In the course of the study of the Panchagni Vidya, we have been incidentally pointed out that there is great sorrow in life if it is attended with ignorance. Ignorance is the cause of suffering, because it breeds erroneous action towards motives which are wrongly directed. This is the cause for the transmigratory cycle of the soul, which can be put an end to only by proper meditation on the inner structure of the universe in its essential nature and not as it appears to the senses in ordinary life. The birth and death of the individual, the process of reincarnation, the impulsion to action propelled by desires, and the compulsion to restrain the consciousness within the four walls of one's own body, all these are aspects of the bondage of the individual. Life is in essence a bondage, a prison house as it were, because of a very complicated type of nescience or ignorance which has enmeshed the phenomenal existence of the jiva, the individual. There must be some escape from this state of affairs. Is there not a way of freedom? Are we to suffer only in this manner, subjected to the law of transmigration, conditioned by the law of cause and effect, and having to pass through the ordeal of this life in which many factors there seem to be over which we have neither any control nor of which we have any knowledge? With a view to expound a doctrine of freedom or the liberation of the spirit from the bondage of samsara, the Upanishad embarks upon a new subject subsequent to the exposition of the Panchagni Vidya, the new section being confined to the elucidation of the renowned meditation known as Vaishyanara Vidya. In this context, we are introduced to an anecdote or a precedent story. This is the beginning of this section. Prachina shala aupamanyavaha satyajna paurushihi indradyumno bhalveyo janasharkaraksha bugilaha ashyudarashvistehaite mahashalaha mahashrotriyaha samitya mimamsam chakruhu kona atma kim brahmeti. There were some wise people, learned in sacred lore, all great meditators, performers of sacrifices, brahmishthas in the proper sense of the term, but who could not come to a conclusion in regard to the final destination of their meditations. These great men are named here, Prachina Shala, Aupamanyava, Satyajna Paulushi, Indradyumana Valveya, Jana Sharkaraksha, Gudila Ashvatarashi. These are the great men. They were all great meditators according to their own techniques. But they had great doubts in their minds. Because in the course of their meditations, in spite of the fact they accrued a palpable result of a magnificent nature, there was something lurking in the mind, pointing to a defect in the meditation. And they could not know what was the defect. So they conferred among themselves. What is the difficulty? Can you enlighten me? Each one was questioning the other. What is the proper course? Is there a possibility of bringing about a harmony among our meditations? Because each one was meditating in a particular manner. And each one was a great person, with grand results following from the meditations. In spite of these magnificent consequences of their meditations, they had different techniques altogether, one not agreeing with the other. But they had a suspicion in their minds, why is it that there is no agreement among ourselves? There must be some peculiar point which escapes our notice. We all meditate on Atma, the highest reality of things, as the Self of Beings, the Supreme Absolute, which is Brahma. In spite of this endeavor of ours, there seems to be something irreconcilable among our methods of meditation. And when they conferred among themselves, they could not come to a conclusion. Then they thought, well, in our locality there is another great man. Why not we go to him? Perhaps he knows the secret. He is Aruni Uddalaka, the great sage of Upanishadic fame. Let us go to him. Well, they said, that is a good idea. We shall all go to this great man and put our questions to him. If he can enlighten us and tell us what is the difficulty with us, what are the defects in our meditations, and what would be the proper procedure. Teha sampadayam chakruhu uddalako vai bhagavantah ayam aruni samprati imam atmanam vaishvanara madhyeti tam hanta abhyagachama iti tam abhyajagmu. So they all went to him in a group, but it was a surprise for Uddalaka to see all these great men coming in a mass to his cottage. They were not ordinary persons. So he thought within himself, why are these people coming? There must be some great point about it. Evidently they want to put some difficult question to me in regard to the highest reality, because they themselves are great men. And when they are all coming together to me, it definitely should be implied that they want to discuss with me the nature of the ultimate reality, and I may not be able to answer their question. So no, why I should risk my presence in the midst of these great men? So when they come, I shall direct them to somebody else who perhaps will be in a position to answer all the questions. So he surmised within his mind that there must be some difficulty, and I may not be able to solve. I will make a very poor show before them if I try to answer their questions. So even before they arrived, he had been thinking like this. Saha sampadayam sakara prakshanti mam. They will certainly put questions to me. Kine mahashala, mahashotriya, great learned people and renowned for their large sacrifices. Tebhyaha na sarvavya pratipatye. I cannot say that I know everything. There are many things which I myself cannot understand. So why should I put myself to the predicament of answering questions which I may not be able to understand? Hanta aham anyam abhyanushasani. The king of that country was a great soul. He was Ashwapati. He was a highly spiritual adept, a great meditator on a principle called the Vaishvanara. And his kingdom was well administered. He was an ideal ruler. He was very much revered as a parent in the whole kingdom. There was every virtue embodied in his personality. He is the proper person to tell us if we have any question to put. Tan hovacha Ashwapatir vai bhagavantah ayam kaikeyah sampratimam atmanam vaishvanaram adhyeti. When these great men arrived, Uddalaka Aruni said, "Great men, I know why you have come. I am also in the same boat as you are. I have also doubts of my own. I do also meditate as you are all doing. And I have also some difficulties in spite of the fact that I have been meditating for years together. Why not we all go together to the great emperor, Ashwapati, who is a master meditator and a great adept in that supreme technique of meditation called Vaishvanara Vidya." Tamha anta abhyagachama iti tamha abhyagamu. They all went to the king's palace. And presented themselves before the emperor. When Brahmins go to a king, naturally they go for some wealth. That is the usual tradition. So the king naturally thought, these people have come asking for some gifts. He received them with great respect and honor, made them seated, and lest they should not accept the gifts that he offered to them, he said, "In my own way, in my own humble way, I follow the path of virtue or dharma. There is no defect in my administration of the country. I follow the path of simplicity and goodness. And here I am ready to offer anything that you need by way of gift if you have come for that." Tebhyah praptebhyah prithagarhani karayam chakara. He received each person separately with due honor. He garlanded them, gave them water to drink and inquired how they were, etc., etc. Saha prataha sanjihana uvacha. He was good enough to give them a proper lodging in the palace. Next morning, when he got up and went to his audience, Sabha, this great man came there, and the first thing that the king said was, Name steno janapade, na kadariyo na madhyapaha, nana hitagnir na vidwan, na swairi swairini kutaha. There is no thief in my kingdom, said the king. There is no greedy or miser in my country. No miserly person, no one who is greedy, no one who drinks, no one who does not perform the daily oblations and libations. And no one who is unrestrained in behavior. And I am going to perform a sacrifice. I shall offer you as much gift by way of wealth as I shall be offering to the ritviks or the performers of the sacrifice. I hope you will be satisfied. All this the king was saying even before these people said anything, under the impression they have come for wealth, gold, silver, etc. Yakshamanaha vai bhagavantaha ahamasmi yavadekaikasma atvijethanam dasyami tavat bhagavadyo dasyami. Vasantu me bhagavantaiti. So you stay here in my palace for some time until I shall prepare myself for the performance of this sacrifice where I shall engage you also. This great man said, well, you are so kind, but there is a great purpose for which we have come. We have not come for money. We have not come for wealth. Whatever be the purpose for which a person has come, that he must express. That is his duty. He should not speak something else. Nor should they be eager to receive things quite different from that for which they have come. So our purpose is something different, quite different from what you are speaking of or thinking in your mind. What is that? The king was surprised. What is it that these people are asking? Te ho chuhu yena haiva arthena purushaschare tam haiva vadet atmanam evam vaishvanaram sampratyadhyeshi. Tameva no guruhi. We have heard that you are in possession of a great knowledge, the knowledge of the Supreme Being, about which we have great doubts and concerning which we have not come to any conclusion among ourselves. We have come as students begging for this knowledge that you possess, but we do not have. This is the purpose for which we have come. Not for wealth, not for money, not for gifts. Well, naturally the king was taken aback that this should be the purpose for which they have come. Anyhow, he was a very generous-hearted person. He said, you come tomorrow morning and see me. Tanhova cha pratarvaha pravaktasmiti. Teha samit panaya purvarne pratichakravire. They were very great people, perhaps even elder in age to the king himself, not ordinary persons. But they humbled themselves before this mighty knowledge. which the king possessed, and approached the king with offerings of samit, the ancient tradition according to which students used to approach the preceptor. They did not regard themselves as Brahmins superior to the Kshatriyas. They went as students of higher knowledge to the great master that the king was. Now the king made a special exception to the rule in the case of these great people. Generally, knowledge is not imparted like that. It is not that you come tomorrow and I give you the knowledge. There is a great tradition of discipline. Sometimes it is imposed upon the students for years together. But here an exception to the rule was made by the king in the light of the fact that these students were not ordinary students. They were well prepared already. They were Brahmishas, great meditators, religious people, and entirely devoted to spiritual life. So they were not ordinary raw brahmacharins approaching the guru for knowledge. So he did not impose this discipline of staying with the guru for years together, serving him, etc., etc. He simply accepted them as students merely on their declaring themselves as students. We have come as students. Okay, I accept you as students. Deha samit panaya purvane pratijakramare tanha upani anupaniya eva etaduvacha. Without any kind of formality of discipline, etc., he spoke to them direct. He questioned them one by one. What is it that you are meditating upon? Why is it that you have difficulties? Now one by one was asked this question. The first person to be queried was Aupamanyava Kam Tvamatmanam Upasse. Aupamanyava, the first Brahmin scholar, was put the question. Which Atman are you meditating upon? You are all meditating on the Atman. It is a great surprise. How is it that everyone is meditating on the Atman and yet one differs from the other in the technique? What is the sort of Atman or the kind of Atman that you are thinking of in your mind? Divameva Bhagavo Rajanmiti Hovacha. I meditate on the heavens as the Supreme Being. That is the symbol I take for fixing my attention of consciousness. I consider the supreme, highest region of the heavens as the final symbol for my meditation. I regard it as absolute. I do not think anything else in my mind. I exclusively devote my attention to it. Because I regard it as the absolute, therefore I consider it as the Atma. So this is how I meditate. But I have no peace of mind. There is something wrong with this technique. And for that purpose I have come to it. Yesha vai sutejaha Atma vaishvanaraha yam tvam atmanam upasse tasmat tava sutam prasutam asutam kule drishyate. The king replied, you are a very honest student of meditation, no doubt, and you have been very rigorously pursuing this technique of meditation. It is no doubt a part of the great Vaishvanara, the universal being that you are meditating upon. Inasmuch as what you are meditating upon is a part of the Supreme Reality, great benefits are being poured upon you as a result of this meditation. You have abundance of wealth in your house. You perform large sacrifices without end. and you have no difficulty in receiving guests and feeding them, etc. You press the soma juice in your house daily, which means to say you perform yajna, sacrifice every day. This is the result of your meditation. Atsyannam, you have plenty of food in your house. There is no lack of it. Pashyasi priyam, you see everything delightful everywhere. You are a happy person. Atyanyam pashyati priyam bhavatyasya brahma varchasam kule ya etameva matmanam vashyanaram upaste. Whoever else also meditates like this, as you are doing, will receive the same benefits. He will be well renowned. He will have plenty of every kind. He will be a very happy and amiable person. And he will be friendly with all people. There will be nothing lacking in his house. This is what will happen to any person who meditates like this, as you are doing. And this is your case also. But there is a great mistake in your meditation. This is only a part of the whole reality. This is the head, as it were, of reality, the topmost region of the Vaishyanara. Murdha, the shiras, the crown of the head of the universal being, as it were, is this on which you are meditating. Inasmuch as you have mistaken a part for the whole, you have considered the head for the whole body. Because you have made this mistake in your meditation, your head would have fallen one day or the other. Some great calamity would have befallen you if you had not come to me now at the proper time for rectification. Murdhat tvesha atmana iti hovacha murdhat te vyapatishyat janmam nagavishyati. It is like a good doctor saying, it is a good thing that you have come to me. It is a very advanced case. Likewise, he said, it is a very good thing that you came to me at the proper time. Otherwise, some catastrophe would have befallen you because of this error in your meditation. You have mistaken the head for the whole body. Well, let it be. You sit quiet. Now he put another question to other men. Athaho vacha satyajnam polushim prachina yogya kautam atmana upasya. Satyajna, polushim, what is the atman you are meditating upon? Adityam yohagavo rajanyati ho vacha, I meditated on the sun, the most brilliant object ever conceivable. It is the eye of the universe. It is Supreme Being. I regard sun, Surya as the symbol of the Absolute. That is the Atman on which I am meditating. Esha vai Vishwarupa Atma Vaishwanaraha Yamtam Atmanam Upaste Asupaste Tasma Tava Bahu Vishwarupam Kule Drishyate. The king said, Satyajna, you meditate on the sun as the Supreme Atman? Well, this is a part of the Vaishyanara's body. Because it is a part of this great being, and you meditate upon it as if it is all, you have in your own life certain characteristics of the sun. There is brilliance in your outlook. There is plenty in your family. And there is a sort of completeness in your life, as the sun himself is a complete being in himself. There is plenty in your house, and your mind is satisfied ultimately. You have got a very happy mind. and you have got many other things in your house, in your family. Paravritta ashtadirtha dasi nishka atyanam pashyati priyamatyanam pashyati brahmavartyasya brahmavartyasam kule. You have got lot of wealth, you have got cars, you have got chariots, you have got many servants, you have got gold. All this is the result of your meditation on the repository of immensity of wealth, which is the sun himself. And whoever meditates as you are meditating also will have the same consequences of immensity, magnificence in his life. You will have plenty of food to eat and plenty of everything. He will be resplendent with the knowledge accruing from this meditation, which is Brahmavartas. Whoever meditates thus. But the mistake that you are making in your meditation is that the sun is the eye, as it were, of the cosmic body. It is not the whole cosmic reality. Chashtu tvedatmana iti hovacha andho bhavishyat janmam nagamishyati. If you had not come to me, you would have become blind in your eyes due to this error in your meditation, mistaking the eye of the Virat for the whole of the Virat. Now you sit, you ask the third person the same question. Athahovacha indradyumram bhalveyam vayyagrapadya tamtom atmanam upasya. Indradyumna bhalveya, what is it that you are meditating upon? What is your Atman, due to which you have difficulties? Vayumeva bhagavo rajanidhyo vacha, I meditate on the cosmic air that blows as the all-pervading reality. Eshavai prathak vartvatma vaishvanaraha yam to matmanam upasse. Well, the king said, so far so good. As is the supreme being, Vaishvanara, all pervading, so is this wind also is all pervading. You have taken this all pervading wind which moves everywhere as the symbol of reality. Very good. Due to that meditation, you have plenty in your house. Tasmat tvam prathak balaya ayanti. Because you contemplate vayu, which is moving everywhere, in every direction, coming from every side, as the ultimate being, tributes come to you from every side. Respect and honor come to you unasked. Your glory is moving everywhere, as the wind is moving everywhere. Tasmatvam prathak balaya ayanti, prathak rathashrenaya anuyanti. Plenty of vehicles you have got, rathashrenis, lines of chariots you have got. And you are also plentiful in every respect, in food, wealth, etc. So is the glory of everyone who meditates like this. Atya nam pashyasi, etc. He repeats in the same way as he mentioned to other persons. This is a wonderful meditation, but there is a defect in this meditation. Pranasvesha atmana, this is only the vital breath, as it were, of the atman. You have mistaken it for the whole. Pranaha te udakramishyat yanmam nagamishyati. You would have had great difficulty, trouble, if you had not come to me. Who knows? Your prana would have left you. if you had not come to me as you have done, there is an error in your approach to the Vaishnavas. Athaho vacha janam sarkaratsha kam tam atmana upaste. Sarkaratsha jana, the other great man, was questioned, what is the Atman you are meditating upon? Akashame bhagavo rajaniti ho vacha. I meditate on the all pervading space. This is also a symbol for meditation. It is all pervading. When you cannot think of anything all pervading, what else can you think except space? So space is the symbol for my meditation on the Vaishnavara. Esha vai bahulaha atma Vaishvanara yam tam atma namo vase asmatam bahulosi prajaya sadhanena cha. Space is extensive in every respect. You meditate upon it as the ultimate reality. And therefore you have extensiveness of everything as a consequence of this meditation. You have plenty of every kind in your house, wealth and what not. You are Gauri incarnate in your house and in your community. Everything blessed is with you due to this meditation. But this is not a correct meditation. There is a mistake in this meditation also. Because the space that you are thinking of as the cosmic reality is really the outer body, as it were, and not the soul of Vaishyamara. If you had not come to me, what would have happened to you? Some catastrophe like paralysis or something would have taken place, and your meditation would have killed you completely. Sandehastvesha atmana iti hovacha, sandehaste vyashiryat janmam nagamushyati. All these meditations are wonderful things, but they are also dangerous things. So this follows from what the king is telling to this great man. Atha hovacha budilam ashvatarashvim vayagrapadhyaya kam tam atmanam upaste. Budilam ashvatarashvim. He questioned the other man, what is it that you are meditating upon? Apa eva bhagavo rajaniti hovacha. I meditate on the waters. There are people who meditate on the ocean as a symbol of Brahman. Just as there are people who contemplate space as a symbol. I contemplate the waters as symbolic of reality. The ocean perhaps as an endless expanse. This is my Vaishvanara, this is my Atma. Esha vai rairatma vaishvanara yam tam atmanam upaste. Tasmatvam raiman pushtimanasi. The king said, this meditation is good so far as it goes, on account of which you are endowed with plenty of every kind. It is the cause of abundance of foodstuff, especially in your house. But this is also a defective form of meditation, because it is the bladder, as it were, of the cosmic body. It is a watery element only of the whole cosmic embodiment. It is one of the constituents of this universal body. It is not the entire structure in its totality. If you had not come, you would have had a physical illness of this part of the body, which is abundant with water. Your body would have swelled, or some such thing would have taken place, and you would have even perished as a consequence of this defective meditation. Then he puts the question to Gautama Uddalaka himself. What is it that you are meditating upon? He said, I meditate upon the whole earth in its comprehensiveness as reality. The entire visible world in its physical form is the symbol for my meditation. Then the king said, this is all right, and therefore you have got great virtues following from this meditation, but this is only the footstool of the Atman, as it were. It is the feet of the Atman, as it were. It is the feet of the Atman because it is the lowest degree of the manifestation of reality. If you had not come to me, something would have happened to your legs, your feet. Then you would have gone on crutches. So this is what the king said in answer to the representations made by all these great men. My dear friend, said the king, all of you are very sincere in your meditations and honest indeed. Because of your honesty and sincerity and tenacity in meditation, you enjoy plenty of everything in your house and in your family and in yourself. But you do not know that you have made a great mistake. Ultimately, some trouble would have come to you. So, it is good that you came to me. In the beginning, everything looks all right, in even erroneous meditations. But afterwards, some trouble comes, which cannot be rectified even with the best of medicines. So, what is it that we have to do now? We understood where we stand. Well, you have made two mistakes, to put the whole thing very precisely. You have considered some part for the whole. You have mistaken the part for the whole. Nothing that you think in your mind can be the whole. Because the mind is accustomed to think only finite objects. Whatever be your concept of expanse of the particular object on which you are meditating, it is still finite. The other mistake that you are doing is, you think this Atman is an object. It is outside. You say it is a space, another says it is water, third says it is the sun, and fourth says it is earth, and so on and so forth. Well, it is all beautiful, but it is outside you. How can it be the Atman? What do you mean by the Atman? How can Atman be outside you? Your own self is external to you? What a concept. So you have committed a blunder in conceiving yourself as something non-self. The self cannot be outside itself. It cannot be an object of itself. It cannot think itself, meditate upon itself. It cannot be other than itself. So, the first mistake is that a finite thing cannot be regarded as infinite. The other thing is, an external thing cannot be regarded as the self. You have committed both these mistakes. Tanhovacha ete vai khalu yuyam prathagiva evam atmanam vaishvanaram vidvamsaha. You are having the knowledge of this great being, little by little, part by part, as in the story of the blind man and the elephant. Each blind man was touching part of the elephant's body and regarding it as something. He never knew for a moment that he was touching only a part of the elephant's body. So likewise, you all people are not aware of the fact that what you think as absolute is relative. What you think as the all is only a part. Therefore, you are well-to-do people indeed on account of the meditation. But there is also the defect that I have already pointed out. Prathagiva imam atmanam vaishwanaram vidvamsa annamattha. So one can glory in this world, have renown in this world, have plenty in this world, and look all right in the eyes of people, even if there is a fundamental defect spiritually. And that cannot be known by mere observation from outside. Yastvetamevam pradesha matram abhivimanam atmanam vaishvanaram upaste sa sarveshu lokeshu sarveshu bhuteshu sarveshu atmasannamatti. There is no need to pour water and put manure on every leaf of the tree if you want to tend a tree. You have to water the root, that is sufficient. If you want to take care of a huge tree, what do you do? Do you go to the top of the tree and count every leaf and paste manure over it? Or pour buckets of water on every leaf, every flower, every fruit? No, you concern yourself with the root of the tree and then you see there is an efflorescence of every part of the tree automatically. Whatever you have obtained through these discrete forms of meditation, you can obtain at one stroke by a total meditation, which is the meditation on the Vaishvanara Atma. The root of the reality is missed by you in your consciousness. Whoever can conceive in his mind the true Vaishvanara as that which extends from the earth to the heavens, from the heavens to the earth, from the topmost level of manifestation down to the lowest level, missing no link whatsoever. If you can visualize in your mind this extensiveness of manifestation from the highest to the lowest at one stroke without missing any part, which means to say, if you can be comprehensive in this manner, in a universal way, in your envisagement of the form of the reality, and if it can be the Atman at the same time, then what is it that you lack? This is the Vaishvanara. Whoever can meditate in this manner becomes the self of every being at one stroke. He becomes the self of all the worlds. He becomes the self of anything that has self. And he becomes the possessor of the glory of anything that exists anywhere, in any realm, in any form, under any circumstance. So this is the secret I let out to you, if you can contemplate in this manner. This is a Herculean feat, because the mind cannot think like this. It will slip from the grasp of your mind. The moment you think like this, you will find that the mind falls back upon its old groove of thinking in terms of particulars and externalizing the object. Who can contemplate the object as non-externalized? Not any human being. But this is what you are supposed to do. Tasya hava etasya atmanaha vaishvanarasya murdhaiva sutejas chakshur visvarupa prana prathagvartvatma sandeho bahula bhasti revarahi prathag prithivyeva padau. all these parts which you have mentioned are various parts of this cosmic body. You bring them together and conceive the whole at one stroke in your consciousness. Don't say this is sun, this is space and this is water and all that. Don't think like this. Let all these be thought together immediately in their comprehensiveness without missing anyone whatsoever. Now, having described the cosmic aspect of the Vaishvanara as the supreme object of meditation, the Upanishad introduces us into an immediate consequence that follows from such meditations. The meditator cannot stand outside this object of meditation, it is very clear. Because of the comprehensiveness of this object, the universality of this Vaishvanara, the meditator has already undergone a transmutation of personality, entered into the bosom of reality, and whatever one does becomes an action of the Vaishvanara. This is a very serious consequence that follows from an intense meditation in this manner. Whatever I think becomes the thought of the Vaishvanara. Whatever I speak becomes an expression of the Vaishvanara. And whatever I do becomes his action. And then my actions become a cosmic sacrifice at once. Just as the God's thought is a universal sacrifice. It is indistinguishable ultimately. You cannot make a distinction between God's thought and a human being's thought when one meditates in this manner. What God thinks and man thinks will be identical. So, the daily activity proceeding from the personality of an individual, in the case of a meditator in this manner, would be a cosmic sacrifice. This is called Prana Agnihotra, a subject we shall take up next time. Hari Om Tat Sat.